This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, and it's an enormous Monday. It is so freaking huge, just like my hands are. It's going to take us a while to get a handle on everything. First of all, Syria. What's going on? Would you like to know about Syria, America's foreign policy? What are the details? It's so confusing. The Syrians and ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Kurds and the... But we are going to talk a lot of Syria in the first hour tonight, just to get you and I both boned up on everything. I have an expert coming up about a half hour from now. I'll do a little lead up into him, Brandon Weichert, and we'll be a lot smarter at the end of this first hour. Then we have Medal of Honor Monday, Daniel Penny found not guilty in New York City. That's freaking awesome. Of course, Black Lives Matter is upset with it. Birthright citizenship. Emails, 52% of Gen Z females consider themselves feminists. We'll have a lot of fun with that. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, have I ever told you about the time I saw a woman get body slammed? So here's the deal. This is going somewhere. Just sit back. Remember when I told you I was in the Marines and they made me go be a cop for a while? I was in the infantry, but it's called FAPT. You get FAPT out to go. They'll grab guys from infantry units and go make them do something else for a little while if they're shorthanded. They love grabbing infantry guys to go be cops, Marine Corps cops. It's called the Provost Marshal's Office. I'm just going to call it cops for now to make it easier to understand. Obviously, we already have the weapons training. You're going to have a more aggressive individual. It's just that it's a nice transition. It's an easier transition. So they made me go be a cop for a while. And in 29 Palms, California, it's probably this way in many, many bases, but I can only speak for 29 Palms. That's where I was. There was all this on-base housing where if you were married, you could live there with your wife in either a house or they had some really rundown, crappy stuff. It wasn't a great living situation, but you could live there. But they also, outside of the base, they had an off-base but on-base housing, meaning if you drove off the base and you drove into the very rundown town of 29 Palms, California, there was this little section that obviously wasn't part of the base, but it was kind of halfway leased out. Either way, base people and their families could possibly live in this little area of town. And we had to patrol the base, and that oftentimes involved leaving our base and going out into town and patrolling that area as well. It also meant we had responsibilities when it came to that area, but we split those responsibilities, or I should say shared those responsibilities, with the local sheriff. So if there was anything that happened in this community outside of the base, we would have to show up because it's a Marine problem of some kind. And the sheriffs would have to show up because it's also civilian territory and whatnot. All right, you with me? And one night we get a call, and it's the call you don't want. There are many calls you don't want. You know, there's a fire, there's something like that. But this is one of those calls where you go, oh, gosh. We just called it a domestic, but domestic dispute. Domestic disturbance, pick your label you want to put on it. It's the call of there's a husband and wife and they're having some problems. There are various degrees of problems, right? He's beating her up and you better get over there to save her life, or they're just shouting at each other. But either way, someone made a call. There's a problem and it's at the place outside of the base. So I happen to be in charge that night. Hop in my car, buddy, we are heading out there, lights blazing, heading out there, trying to see what exactly the problem is. We have to coordinate with the local sheriff. He shows up same time we show up, and we go into this house. And you can feel the tension, the hatred. This is all going to go somewhere. I don't care if you want me to hurry up. I'm going somewhere with this, so just sit there for a second. You can feel the tension. You walk in, and you don't know any part of their history. It was this Marine. He was the Marine. His wife was Chinese. She was this low Asian Chinese woman. Her English wasn't all that great. But you walk in. I walk in it. I've never met him. I've never met her. The sheriff's never met him. The sheriff's met her. We don't know anything about their history. I don't know his family history, her family history. I don't know the history of them as a married couple. I don't know whether they've had 15 beautiful years together of laughter and love. I don't know whether they do heroin in their off time. I don't know whether they take turns punching each other in the face. I don't know whether there's abuse going either way. I walk in and I don't know anything because it's not my house. It's their house. They have lived there. They know the history. I am a stranger. But not only am I a stranger, not only is the sheriff who walked in with me a stranger, but we are walking in as strangers, as people unfamiliar with the situation, attempting to seize control of the situation. It's not like I walked in to just say, hey, you mind if I pull up a chair? I want to watch you guys have it out. No. I'm there to referee. Maybe even arrest somebody. I'm not there as a bystander. I'm there to stick my nose in it. And there is a reason. When you turn on the news and you see a law enforcement officer has been killed in the line of duty, that a large portion of time, it's not the majority, of course, there are different things, but if that cop was killed on purpose, meaning it's not a car that sideswiped him when he pulled someone over, but if that cop was killed on purpose, there is a pretty good chance that cop was killed at a domestic dispute. Because you are stepping in to attempt to stick your nose in a situation you don't know about. And the emotions in that situation are as high as emotions get. Because in a home, that's where emotions are the most extreme. It will bring you the most happiness, but because you're close, it will bring you the most sadness, the most anger. That's where peak emotion is inside of the home. And you, the outsider, are walking in and you're going to stick your nose in it. And it's dangerous. Now let's talk about Syria, America, foreign policy. Everybody's foreign policy is a little bit different. No one shares the same identical foreign policy because foreign policy is complicated, and I acknowledge fully it is complicated. So let's talk about Syria because this could go really, really sideways on us. You want to talk about a domestic situation you don't want to stick your nose in? I tell you what, I'm going to read for you something. It's a little bit long. But this is one of the people, Lindsey Graham, Senator of South Carolina. Lindsey Graham, maybe I'll even read it in that voice. This is one of the people who, of course, wants to get more involved. I'm not even going to edit this for my purposes. I'm going to read you what Lindsey Graham wrote down. And you tell me if this seems like a simple situation we should definitely get involved in. Quote, I appreciate the airstrikes against ISIS targets in Syria, but it will not be enough. We have to ensure that roughly 50,000 ISIS prisoners in northeastern Syria, being primarily held by Kurdish forces, are not released. We should not allow the Kurdish forces, who helped us destroy ISIS on President Trump's watch, to be threatened by Turkey or radical Islamists who've taken over Syria. Turkey has a legitimate concerns regarding different groups that reside in northeastern Syria, but there is conflict between Turkey and the Syrian Democrat forces, or Turkey attacks Kurdish forces, it will set in motion an ISIS jailbreak, which would be a nightmare for America. The last time ISIS was in charge, thousands of Europeans and Americans were killed by ISIS plots that originated in Syria. Furthermore, the reemergence of ISIS creates chaos throughout the region, which is going to lead to higher gas prices for us at home. Turkey deserves to have a demilitarized buffer zone between northeastern Syria and Turkey to protect Turkish interests. However, if Turkey takes military actions against Kurdish forces in Syria, oh my gosh, I could keep going. This is one of the people telling us to get involved. Are your eyes glazed over? Are they rolled in the back of your head yet? Did you even make even the slightest bit of sense there? Sounds complicated, doesn't it? Sounds like there's a lot of history there. A lot of people pulling different directions. Sounds like it should be a big old mess. So what should we do about it? Well, let's talk about that. And we'll talk about what we are doing about it. Maybe Lindsay will chime in again. All that.
Why are you gay?
And so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to that, let's talk about something serious. You see, Done For You Real Estate, they won't find you any properties in Syria. They vet the properties for you to make sure they'll find only the best properties in the best markets where ISIS won't blow up your rental home. They'll vet it for you. They get you the financing. They handle the paperwork. They handle the closing. They handle the rental process. You, normal person, begin investing in real estate, putting your money into hard assets. Go. You want to find out what they can do for you? Go to doneforyoujesse.com. Probably start out with one, I would assume. You're just a normal person. One becomes two. Two becomes five. Soon you're retiring. Consistent, tax-free income. You pass it down to your children. Does that sound nice? Doneforyoujesse.com is where you go to find out more. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, an incredible Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. So the Syrian government falls. Al-Assad falls. Now, who are these rebels? Well, that's complicated, and I'll get into more details with Brandon Weikert in a moment. The rebels are nightmarish. Al-Assad was nightmarish. He has had a 50-year rule where he's used chemical weapons on his own people. It was really, really bad. He's a terrible person. But the people who are taking over are terrible. They're kind of an Al-Qaeda, ISIS joint effort where those two groups have previously hated each other. They are Sunnis, Sunni extremists. Obviously, they're extremists. And what they want is obviously not going to be anything good. Very, very ugly. It's all bad. It's all bad. Everything, every part of it is ugly. Joe Biden, don't worry, though. You know, I mean, I read you the whole complicated involvement that Lindsey Graham wants to do. Now, let me ask you, does this person look like he can command and oversee such an effort?
We will help stability, ensure stability in eastern Syria, protecting any personnel, our personnel, against any threats, and remain our mission against ISIS will be maintained, including the security of detention facilities where ISIS fighters are being held as prisoners.
Okay, sure. Sure, sure. I wanted to address that part. You're going to hear a lot of that. Lindsey Graham referenced 50,000 ISIS prisoners. I've heard the numbers, 30,000. It doesn't matter. Here's what you need to know. Kurds, you're going to hear that word a lot. Kurdish forces, Kurds, Kurds, Kurds. Don't oversimplify anything when it comes to this. That's complicated, too. There are Kurds who have been very friendly with us and us friendly with them, and we've been allies to us and they've been allied with and we've been allied with them. That's not universal for all Kurds. However, there are Kurdish forces residing within Syria that have been doing this with our help. We have about 900 U.S. troops helping them do this. Remember that whole ISIS war? We had those terrible freaking demons in ISIS that were butchering babies and raping everyone and doing all the lovely things that ISIS does. Well, there were a lot of captives. Why can't I talk today? A lot of prisoners of war, ISIS people from that war. You with me? Well, we took all these people in. There were, we'll call it 50,000. They all have citizenship in one country or another. but none of their countries will take them back. They're the most evil, demonic people out there. And it's not only men. Men, women, and even kids. And they are so radicalized, so twisted, their own countries won't even take them back as prisoners. So what could you do? We live in a much softer, kinder society. I know personally how I would handle such a problem. But since that's not the society we live in now, we struck a deal. Everyone really struck a deal with the Kurdish forces to essentially guard these people as prisoners. And the Kurds with us are currently guarding these people in Syria. Now, you can see how that would be a problem for a couple different reasons. One, Turkey, the Turks hate the Kurds. So they're not exactly going to help. Two, who just took over Syria? As I said, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. Do you think they might be interested in adding 50,000 reinforcements to their number after they just took over a country? You think they might be invested in getting those prisoners out by any means necessary? Of course they will. So I wanted to explain that portion of it for those who may get confused when you hear people talking about the prisoners they have. We have to ensure the prisoners. It's really important that by any means necessary, those prisoners don't get free again, because those are the most radicalized nutballs who will go on to murder and rape and butcher like they all did before. Back to our discussion. Does this person sound like he can navigate this situation?
These past few days have been historic. And, you know, it's in the days ahead that will determine the future of this country. And we intend to approach them with strength, wisdom, and resolve.
Yeah. It's an ugly situation. But it's also a domestic dispute. And I do realize this is Jeffrey Sachs on MSNBC. I realize we have to own a lot of that situation there. Here it is.
This is a U.S. mistake that started 7 years ago. And I remember the day on your show when President Obama said Assad must go. Mm-hmm. And I looked at you and Joe and I said, huh? How's he going to do that? Where's the policy for that?
Right.
And we know they sent in the CIA to overthrow Assad. The CIA and Saudi Arabia together in covert operations tried to overthrow Assad. It was a disaster. Eventually, it brought in both ISIS as a splinter group to the jihadists that went in. It also brought in Russia. So we have been digging deeper and deeper and deeper. What we should do now is get out.
Did I mention it's a domestic dispute we helped create? But don't worry, we're going to get involved now and fix the mess we helped create. Yeah. So you want to dig into more detail with it? You want to sound smarter than all of your friends? That's why I'm bringing Brandon Weikert on right about now. Well, about a few minutes from now. Before we get to Brandon Weikert, maybe you're having a hard time following along with all this, although I just laid it out beautifully. What, Chris? I did. But if you're having a hard time, you need to go get some chalk in your body. And you need to be disciplined about taking it every day. Natural herbal supplements. I tell you what I do. Every single morning, I wake up, I have something with chocolate powder in it. Usually it's a superfood smoothie. Sometimes it's just milk. And then after I eat my breakfast, I take my male vitality stack every day. I've been doing this with discipline for 3 years now, and my entire life is better. You want to feel better, more energy, your mind works better. Men, they have male vitality stacks for you, have your T levels through the roof. Ladies, female vitality stacks for you. Or maybe you just want to start out with chocolate powder or armor or Seven Wonders or any of the other amazing things they have. The anti-communists at Chalk are here to help you. Go. Take advantage of their Christmas special, chok.com, promo code Jesse. Get a subscription. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Brandon Weikert, next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and joining me now is National Security Analyst Brandon Weichert, who actually picked an outstanding intro song. Bravo to Brandon. Okay, Brandon, first of all, let me go ahead and get this out of the way first. You and I know each other, so this won't be hard for you. I want you to imagine that I have the mind of a child. I don't know anything about Syria, and it's so confusing with the forces and the Kurds and Al-Qaeda, but Assad is bad. And so knowing that I don't know squat, please explain to me and take your time. What is happening and why should I give a crap?
Okay, so the bottom line is you should give a crap because our intelligence services, along with the Turks, have decided to give a bunch of money and a bunch of guns to a guy named Mohammed Jalani, who is the head of a terrorist group called HTS, which has taken over the country of Syria, whatever's left of it. And Jalani was a member of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. He killed scores of our troops during the insurgency with IEDs, most likely. And he basically is like a comic book villain that we're trying to now rehabilitate because we've nominated him to be our guy to knock out the Russians and the Iranians and Assad from Syria, not realizing that we're basically handing the country over to the next bin Laden.
Okay, well, that all sounds pretty horrific. Let's pause on that overview for a moment. And I want you to tell me about Assad, Brandon. Who is this guy? What's his history? I understand he's not warm and cuddly either. There aren't good guys here. But again, pretend I'm a kid. Who is Assad? Where did he come from? Why are we against him? Why does Russia like him? What's going on?
Well, it goes back to his father, Hafez Assad. Hafez was the real brutal maniac, and he took over Syria about 50 years ago. He was a secular dictator, was very anti-Islamist. He was a Ba'athist like Saddam was. In fact, he was very close with Saddam. And the Russians have had a naval base and an air base in Syria since the late 1970s, that even after the fall of the Berlin Wall of the Soviet Union, they maintained. And so for them,
why?
For the Russians, well, because it gives them power projection. It gives them the ability to move forces in and out of the Eastern Mediterranean Sea. And okay, the Russians historically have wanted that. They wanted warm water ports. They've only got four of them. So this is one of them, and they just lost it. So that's why they supported Assad. Assad was a dictator. And he was a guy that used to brutalize his own people, but particularly, and this is not reported in the press, he was especially hard on the Sunni Arab population. Jalani is from this population. But the reason he was so hard was because the Muslim Brotherhood, which is sort of the mothership of Islamic terrorism, was operating in large numbers among that population. So Hafez would kill them all. And then his son took over in 2000 after he died, Bashar Assad. And Bashar continued to be horrible to his people. But ultimately, Bashar al-Assad was not a jihadist. In fact, he was an anti-jihadist, and he could have been used by us to go after the al-Qaeda types in his midst. Instead, we pushed him out and handed the country basically over to al-Qaeda.
Okay, let's focus on the pushing out of al-Assad. I know what just happened, but the genesis of this, why? What was our particular axe to grind with him? Was this economical? Was this Islamic terrorism? Was it his association with Russia? Why did the geniuses in D.C. decide this guy needed to go?
It had to do with his association with Russia and the fact that Iran was partnered with him. And so basically, we were playing a game of risk, basically. We just looked at the map and said, oh, we want to get the Russians out of their warm water ports, and one of them's in Syria. That's the weakest one. And so we're going to put pressure on Assad to get out of power so we can push out the Russians and, by extension, the Iranians, which actually helps the Israelis as well, because the Israelis are getting supplies. I'm sorry, the Hezbollah attacking Israel is backed by Iran, and they're getting supplies through Syria. So if you get rid of Assad in Syria, those supplies won't make it to Hezbollah, and Israel will also be safer. The only problem is, in order to do that, you've just handed the country over to an actual jihadist who hates Israel, who hates America, and is going to turn on us eventually with our own weapons.
Okay, that all sounds really lovely. Now, explain this to me before we get to the bad, well, the bad guys. I realize they're all bad guys. Before we get to the rebels who just took over completely, okay. The rebels who just took over, it's my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, that this is kind of a collab between Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Now, yep. I do know enough to know that those two are not exactly best buddies. Why are they collabing? How did that happen?
Well, they're collabing because ultimately they're all Islamists and they all want the same thing. They want the restoration of the ancient caliphate that collapsed at the end of the First World War when the Ottoman Empire collapsed. That's why they've also aligned with the Turks, because the Turks are giving them money and weapons and intelligence and even some leadership on the battlefield in exchange for pushing Islam's flag forward, creating a new Islamic state in Syria. These are things that all of those groups want. And so that's why suddenly these ISIS and Al-Qaeda types are working together. They have a shared interest. They want territory in Syria, and they want a new base to go basically to go ham on the rest of the region and the world.
Okay, now Turkey, tell me about their interests. Why would Turkey be supportive of a radical jihadist organization taking over a country on its border that generally doesn't go well?
Well, so the Turks are at war with an ethnic group in their country that also lives in northern Syria, northern Iraq, called the Kurds. We have supported the Kurds for decades. They are the largest stateless population in the world. And so the Turks want to destroy them. They're threatened by them. More importantly, Erdogan, the president of Turkey, believes he's the next sultan of a new Ottoman Empire. And so he is doing this to go after the Kurds, but also he's using jihadi groups because he thinks, he thinks he can control the jihadists. What he doesn't realize is that the jihadists are going to turn on him as soon as they get what they want in Syria, because they're not going to be wanting to be led by an ethnic Turk any more than they want to be led by ethnic Persians from Iran. And so that's what's going on with the Turkey element. He's trying to rebuild the Ottoman Empire with himself and Turkey as the head of it.
Now, you say Turkey has wanted to destroy the Kurds. He has Kurds in his own country, has Kurds in northern Syria bordering his country. I got all that, but Turkey has, unless I'm mistaken, they have the largest military in Europe, I believe. How have they not been able to destroy the Kurds with the largest military in Europe?
Well, because it's the same reason we haven't been able to destroy Al-Qaeda or ISIS with the largest military in the world. These are very wily fighters. We're also supporting the Kurds. And also the Turks have been afraid if they go totally, genocidal against the Kurds, that the Americans and the Europeans will step in and go against Turkey. And that's not something that Turkey really wants to deal with. So there's that issue. But it's hard to destroy. I mean, you were in the military. You know this. It's very difficult to go after guerrilla fighters. They're just, it's a very difficult kind of warfare. And Turkey is a modern military force like ours, and modern military forces have trouble rooting out these large kind of, asymmetrical threats, such as the Kurds.
Yeah, they certainly do. Brandon, I hate to ask, I should have asked you beforehand, but we haven't even got to the rebels, why Israel's amassing troops on the Golan Heights, what the axe to grind is with Saudi Arabia. This is a long way of me asking you, do you have another quick segment for me to go over just a couple of these things to make us smarter so we can brag to our friends?
Sure.
Okay, we will be right back with Brandon Weikert, making all of us more intelligent when it comes to Syria. And of course, the reason you want to be more intelligent is so you can rub it in the face of friends and family that you are smarter than they are. Now, of course, you can also do that if you're already giving your dog or cat rough greens. I mean, I rub it in all my friends' faces. I look at them and I say, ah, ha, ha, your dog's going to die, but not mine. Mine will live longer than yours because I give my dog rough greens, you see. There's no nutrition in dog food, and our dogs die too early because of that. But rough greens is nutrition, the all-natural nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, Green Beret, I should note. You sprinkle it on your dog's food. It's vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils. Yes, they have Meow Greens for cats as well. And you will see physical differences in your pet. And your pet will live longer and you won't be at the vet all the time because, surprise, surprise, nutrition is good for you and helps you live longer. Want a free Jumpstart trial bag? See if that puppy of yours likes it. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, reminding you Medal of Honor Monday comes up about 10 minutes from now, but I want to get right back here. Joining me now, national security guy, getting us a lot smarter on what's going on in Syria, my friend Brandon Weichert. All right, Brandon, you already got us boned up on Assad and what Turkey's axe to grind is, but Israel, I saw today, in response to all this, is starting to take the high ground of the Golan Heights for what reason?
Well, because they know that, first of all, we've just handed over Syria to an Islamist that probably wants to annihilate the Israelis as much as the Iranians and Assad did. So it's not really a win for them. And so they need to kind of project power deeper into Syria before Jelani can solidify his hold over the territory. Then, of course, you've also got the added issue of they're trying in Israel to break those supply chains linking Iran with Hezbollah in neighboring Lebanon. And so in order to ensure that those supply lines are never restored and that Hezbollah can't basically grow beyond Lebanon into stateless Syria, they want to have a permanent blocking position there. They're also talking, and I think this is probably a bridge too far, but they're also talking about aligning their interests with the Druze population in southwestern Syria and then creating a quote freedom corridor connecting southwest Syria controlled by Israel with U.S. controlled Kurdish elements in eastern Syria to try to create a Kurdish Druze federation backed by U.S. and Israeli forces to counteract the obvious threat that this jihadist controlled Syria will be.
Okay, you said that's a bridge too far. Why?
Well, the Israeli military is already stretched. It is gone. It is incredible what they've been able to do. This is a very small military. It's incredible what they've been able to do going on against Gaza in the south, going after Hamas, trying to contain Fatah in the West Bank at the same time, basically starting a major conflict between itself and Hezbollah in the north. This is a multi-front war. And now they're opening up another front in Syria. So this is, they're stretching themselves to their breaking point.
Okay. Again, speaking with Brandon Weichert, teaching us about this stuff. Now, Brandon, sorry, you're going to have to merge these worlds for me too. Why would a pipeline continue to Hezbollah, which is obviously a proxy of Iran, when these are all Shiite groups, and you just got done telling us that it was a Sunni bunch of radicals that just took over Syria, and Sunnis and Shiites don't exactly get along?
No. Well, this is why Israel is setting up a permanent shop there. It's to basically ensure that there's no bleed over between, say, Hezbollah looking for a new territory to basically call its own in stateless Syria. So they're trying to basically create like a wall of troops and air power and artillery that will basically, now that Hezbollah has been cut off from those supply chains from Iran, they're now going to squeeze Lebanon from every direction.
Okay, you mentioned stateless Syria. That's one thing, as we've seen many times in history, it's one thing to win a war and take over a country. It's another thing entirely to keep it and govern it. I can't imagine a joint ISIS-Al-Qaeda effort has a robust plan to pave the roads and build schools. But what do we know about how established these guys are going to be? Anything yet?
No, but if there's anything from history as a guide, they will turn on each other. And that will create as many problems as just a new jihadi-controlled Syria would cause for us. Either way you look at it, it's going to be a new breeding ground for Islamic militancy directed against the United States, Israel, and its allies. And unlike, say, Afghanistan or even Iraq, Syria is now in a long land border with Israel, which means that Israel is really going to have to always be on guard.
Okay, now explain to me what we want done with the, I've heard 30,000, I've heard it's 50,000. There are a bunch of ISIS prisoners the Kurds have. Why haven't we just killed them?
Well, that's a question that I keep asking. I don't understand why there's even this. I get, because the argument is that, oh, well, there's some innocent people political prisoners and whatnot that are actually pro-West. But ultimately, we are talking about basically opening up Arkham Asylum in Batman and letting all the bad villains out. We should just bomb those facilities before they can be opened up and those bad guys can be released into the wild.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, finally, I'm going to let you go, I swear, after this one. Saudi Arabia, I'm told that this new regime, I hope it doesn't turn out to be a regime, the victorious rebels have a real axe to grind with the House of Saud. What's their problem? Again, they're all Sunnis.
Well, no, but ultimately, remember, it's the same problem that bin Laden had. They believe the House of Saud is apostate, that they are too close to the Americans and the Jews and the Europeans, the Christians, to be of any help to the Grand Jihad. So they want to overthrow that in order to ensure that Saudi Arabia, the land of Mecca and Medina, where Muhammad is from, will be pure Islam, and they can basically create the truly pan-Islamic caliphate based there, as opposed to just in Syria or Afghanistan.
I assume the Christian population of Syria is in some serious trouble now, and I don't assume there are any Jews left in that country, correct?
I would say both is very true, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Brandon Weicker, thank you so much, my brother. That
thank
was
you,
awesome.
Sir.
I have so much more knowledge now, and I already had this gargantuan amount of what, Chris? I had this huge amount of knowledge, maybe the most knowledgeable person ever. And now that I just got all this information from Brandon, now I'm a super genius. Look, that was two segments. A little complicated, isn't it? There's a bit going on, right? It took two segments just to hash out. Okay, what's the new regime? What's Turkey's involvement? What's Israel doing? Why are they doing it? Iran's involved here. You have Hezbollah involved here. You have Saudi Arabia involved here. And this is why, I mean, you hear things like this. What?
There's a new constitution, a new government that serves all Syrians. And this process will be determined by the Syrian people themselves. And the United States will do whatever we can to support them, including through humanitarian relief, to help restore Syria after more than a decade of war.
A new constitution that'll be determined by the Syrian people? The country was just taken over by Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Inc. They're not interested in an American-drafted constitution. So why do we do this? We do it all the time. Well, a lot of reasons for it. Money, power, stuff we've discussed before, but I just wanted you to know, and now we know. And now it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. Before we get to Medal of Honor Monday, I want you to know that you might very well qualify for massive discounts on like everything at GovX. If you were in the military or are, if you are or were a first responder or an educator or a family member of any of those, your membership is free. This not some gimmick. You have a free membership waiting for you at GovX. You just have to go sign up. Then you get humongous discounts on just everything you could ever want. I don't even know what to say. You want concert tickets? Yep. Want a new pair of work boots? Yep. How about a knife? An optic? You need a knee sleeve? Maybe a new pen? All this is available at GovX.com if you get a free membership. And when you use the promo code Jesse, you get $15 off your first purchase, so don't miss out on free money. GovX.com, promo code Jesse. Go sign up, and remember, when you save money on something, email us and let us know, because Chris doesn't get these discounts, and we want to be able to tell Chris the money he didn't save. GovX.com, promo code Jesse. Medal of Honor Monday time, next.
This is an iHeart podcast.